Morning team, it is Wednesday the 11th of May. Chris, what happened overnight?
Thanks Tom, we finally saw some signs of steadiness overnight. It was still a pretty volatile session. The Dow at best was up 508, at worst down 358, closed down 85 points. So a losing session for the Dow, but the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq managed to close higher. The Nasdaq was the best up 1%, the S&P 500 up 0.25%, both snapping a three session losing streak. So like I said, some signs of life. SPY futures were down 8 points this morning. I just had a quick look. The actual market now is down around 45 points. So we have slid off the end of the pier, unfortunately, in terms of the market moving in the wrong direction. But those signs of steadiness overnight coming from the fact that a lot of people are talking about oversold conditions. Just on that front, one of the senior guys over at Goldman Sachs, Peter Oppenheimer, he's the chief global equity strategist at Goldman Sachs, was out overnight saying, and I quote, "Equities are starting to look attractive for medium to longer term buyers." And he said that while the downside risks still lurk, again, quote, "all of that really is absorbed into the market already." So very much reflecting what Marcus was talking about yesterday. So Marcus wins. He was ahead of the guy over at Goldman's in terms of giving that advice to the market. So well done, Marcus. As for what else happened overnight, there was some more Fed speak. Basically, all the Fed presidents are coming out at the moment, continuing to pass that message that the Fed has things under control and that the current pace of rate hikes, so that's the 50 basis points at the next couple of meetings, is enough. Fed Governor Waller saying that the economy can take those front-loaded hikes as well. So I do pay quite a lot of attention to Fed speak. You know that rule, don't fight the Fed. So you might as well pay attention to what all the Fed presidents and the governor are saying. And they have all been singing from that same hymn sheet recently saying, got this, no need to panic, everything's under control. They can say that all they like. However, of course, the market will react the way the market is going to react. And over the past couple of weeks, or certainly since the recent Fed decision, the market hasn't necessarily believed what the Fed has been trying to say. As for what's ahead, we've got tonight's much-anticipated April CPI data point. The expectations are that there'll be some softening from March's pace, so that would feed into that peak inflation narrative that has a lot of analysts have been talking about. Elsewhere overnight, Biden is weighing cutting tariffs to fight inflation, and US analysts continue to take down their estimates for Q2 earnings. Just on the yield front, the 10-year was back at 3% after recently trading through 3.2%, so the yield on the 10-year bond continues to whip around in a manner that for anyone who follows bond markets would know doesn't happen very often at all. To see this sort of volatility is pretty rare. And I was speaking to some bond guys earlier in the week, and a lot of bond portfolios have taken about a 10% hit in the last quarter. 10% on bonds. They're supposed to be the thing that are safe and they've been down 10%. Like I said, just some volatility happening in the bond market and in the equity market for that matter that we don't often see. So plenty for investors to wrestle with.
Thank you, Chris. And a good lead in to our market this morning. As you pointed out, we are down about 45 points, more than what the futures had indicated, but holding just above that key 7,000 level that you've talked about for a while. Caution characterizing the session ahead of this US inflation data that you said is expected to reveal peak inflation. Healthcare and consumer staples are outperforming in positive territory. Selling pressure less pronounced relative to prior sessions, so that's a positive, although most sectors are in negative territory. Miners, tech, and energy continuing to fall. NAB is ex-dividend today, down 2.6%. Magellan is up 3% on a new CEO appointment. CSR is improving on full-year numbers, and GrainCorp off slightly on their half-year numbers. Marcus is out this morning, but he is looking ahead to the key US inflation data tonight in his strategy piece. He's looking at the main headwinds for the market and offers some guidance on what to do as we look out for signs of the bottom. Henry also unable to join us this morning, but he is focusing on the segment by Four Corners, which shone the light on the critical minerals space and materials space, noting the current sell-off may provide a great opportunity to top up some lithium and other exposures. So some very juicy stuff from Henry in Henry's take, but unfortunately we can't have Henry Marcus here today. Leighton, anything interesting from the brokers this morning?
Thank you, Tom. Got a couple to go through. REA Group has been upgraded to a buy at UBS, and the broker suggests that there is value emerging, but at the same time acknowledged the upgrade may be early given the premium valuation and near-term uncertainty. The target price dropped 16% to $130, which still implies a 15% upside. and Aristocrat Leisure, one of the ones you were talking about, Chris, that could show some good value. It has been pretty heavily sold off recently, but the fundamentals are obviously looking good. The half-year earnings are coming up on the 19th, and Macquarie has looked at earnings revisions and notes that the company has $1.3 billion in cash, believes that an M&A is on the cards. The broker's target price is $44, which implies a 41% upside.
Yeah, just to fill in blank there, Leighton, so they did raise a lot of money in the expectation that they were going to acquire a company called Playtech. That deal ultimately fell over, and then they kept that war chest, and they are very good. Aristocrat is quite well known for being very good at absorbing quite big acquisitions and then folding them into their suite of companies or suite of products and extracting significant value out of them. So not surprising at all to see that they're on the M&A march once again.
Yeah, and that 41% upside there, Macquarie has priced in 10% of that upside due to M&A.
Yeah, so, there you go. Yeah.
And Chris, what are you talking about today in trading?
Thanks, Tom. For the first time in quite a few sessions, I've focused on a bullish chart rather than a bearish chart. The chart of the day is Endeavour Group. Of course, this was the assets that were spun out from Woolworths, basically the pubs.
Dan Murphy's, wasn't it?
Yeah, the pubs, the Dan Murphy's, all the basically liquor assets, for lack of a better description. After the couple of weeks we've had in the market, I think everyone probably deserves or needs a tipple just to calm the nerves a little bit. Not that I'm promoting excessive drinking at all, but this was one that I actually quite liked prior to the recent market volatility, because it is a defensive name. You know, at the end of the day, alcohol consumption, for better or worse, generally doesn't rise or fall significantly in terms of the economic cycle. It's always pretty consistent, and they were going to get the tailwind from the pubs opening up, and that was one of the things that sort of lit a bit of a fire under the share price. So I liked it prior to the market volatility. It has held up quite well over the past couple of weeks. Certainly hasn't been bashed around the ears like a lot of other stocks. Very significant and key level at $7.50, which had bounced off yesterday, and I was looking for it to pass through a short-term downtrend resistance line, and that would create the buy signal. So it hasn't quite got going this morning. It hasn't fallen back though. It's up 0.2%, trading at 770. Probably want to see it at 775 in order to trigger that buy signal. But that is one that, you know, is shaping up pretty nicely and is worth having a crack at if the market enjoys a little bit of a bounce in coming sessions.
Thank you, Chris. And that takes us to our question of the day. What stock is on your watch list?
There's many stocks on my watch list, Tom, but the number one stock on my watch list, I can't go past Macquarie. It is a Marcus Today favorite. I said on one of the Ausbiz shows that I was on recently that it was the first stock that I did a buy, hold, sell for. Tom, of course, now you write the buy, hold, sells. You do it very well, in-depth research on companies. It was the first buy, hold, sell that I ever wrote here in 2018, and I was very bullish on it at the time. It was trading at $115, and I think Marcus read that piece of research and was persuaded, shall we say, that Macquarie was a good company as well. And you know, we know, of course, once Marcus gets on something, then generally everyone in the newsletter likes it, and that's fine. But I created the spark that lit the fire that turned into Macquarie becoming a favorite of Marcus Today. Like I said, it was 115 at the time, was trading north of 200, had that update recently, which I actually thought was quite a strong update, more than 50% rise in profit. They never give guidance, and I think that's what the market was not liking in the current volatility and environment. And the share price was savaged. It was down something like 7% on the day, and I think has pulled back a little bit further since. Let me just pull up the price whilst we're here. So 180, so it was 203 back into 180. I think that is a stock that any chance that I get, I'm happy to fill my boots with. So Macquarie's number one on the list, and probably pretty close to pulling the trigger on it, to be perfectly honest.
That is a great pick, Chris. And I remember back at the start of COVID, one of the best financial decisions I ever made was listening to Henry, as I'm sure a lot of people have that a similar takeaway. But he said, whenever Macquarie and CSL as well was below $100,
get it,
load
yeah.
up.
Get as much of it as you can, which for us means we bought about three each.
Yeah, so for me back then, wasn't that much.
I bought one share at $100.
The percentage improvement looks good.
Yeah, the total return, not so great.
Yeah. So that's a great one. Hard to argue with that. Leighton.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing. So I'll add another one in there. Zero is one that I'll look at. It's come off the top really heavily, and hopefully with change in the market, could change the tide.
Zero is one that I quite like as well. One that I focused on when I was on Ausbiz yesterday, talking about, yeah, stocks that just have bad downtrends, but are actually quite good, well-run, growing companies. It's just not the right environment for Zero at the moment, but it will have its day again. Absolutely will. It's too strong a company not to, yeah. To Tom, what about you? What are you looking at?
And this is purely on my watch list because I don't have enough capital to invest at the moment. And if I did, I would be buying it. And this is one I talked up on Ausbiz, Syrah Resources. They've done quite well. They had a great update back in April and good, well-received for your results. results, deal with Tesla, US Department of Energy supporting them as well, so there's a lot of tailwinds. And also linking up with what Henry's talking about today, that critical minerals space is just going to continue to flourish in the next couple of years. But I think that about wraps us up.
Thanks everyone for listening. Sorry there was just the three of us today. We'll have Henry and Marcus back tomorrow, no doubt. Catch you all then. Cheers.
Thank you.